big questions continue. How on earth are we in a situation in Northern Ireland where Sinn Féin are saying black at the same time as the DUP saying white? Not only now do you not know the precise detail of what was in a draft agreement, but there is significant disagreement about whether there was an agreement. Yesterday, the Sinn Féin president, Mary Lou MacDonald, said Arlene Foster had agreed a draft. There was a draft agreement for an Irish Language Act. She said that her party and the DUP had a draft agreement on an Irish Language Act alongside an Ulster Scots Act and a Respecting Language and Diversity Act. Let's have a listen to what Sinn Féin are saying happened.
We had a draft agreement by the end of last week. At that time, we advised the DU leadership that the deal should be closed before those opposed to it could unpick everything that we had achieved. We made it clear that if there was a delay, that there was every chance that the package would unravel. And so it came to pass. The DUP failed to close the deal and then went on to collapse the talks process. A lot of mistruths and inaccuracies have been peddled about the content of the draft agreement. So for the record, the draft agreement included an Irish Language Act, an Ulster Scots Act, and a Respecting Language and Diversity Act. The Irish Language Act included provision for the official recognition of Irish and the creation of an Irish Language Commissioner. The repeal of the ban of Irish in the courts was also to be legislated for. Let me make it clear. At no stage was it envisaged to make Irish compulsory for anybody or to apply quotas to the public services. These were not considerations.
So couldn't be clearer from Sinn Féin as to what happened. Except the DUP say, no, parallel universe. It did not happen. Have a listen to what the DUP MP Gregory Campbell told Seamus McKee on Evening Extra last night. He's saying there was no agreement, draft or not, it didn't happen.
Throughout the 12 months, there were papers exchanged, positions were looked at. There were occasions when we thought the gaps were narrowing, and it appeared that they were. There were other occasions when it looked as if the gap had widened again and other issues were introduced. That was the case throughout the 12 months.
Was it the case that the document was on the table, it had been drawn up by the two parties, it had not been finally agreed, but it was in the process of being put to the parties, MLAs, MPs and others? Is that the case?
No, there was no agreement, accord, draft or otherwise. There were discussions ongoing.
What's going on? And how do you feel about this? What is the truth in the middle of all of this? The former Ulster Unionist Director of Communications, Alex Kane, with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Alison Morris from the Irish News. Good morning to you, Alison.
Good morning.
Good morning. How can they both say completely different things at the same time, Alex?
That's normal in politics in Northern Ireland, Stephen. Let's not forget, we go back to the 1998 agreement, which was very specific, written down. People had copies sent to their houses of what was going to be in this agreement, and yet both sides sold it on entirely different merits. Sinn Féin said it's an advance towards the unity project, an advance towards United Ireland. This makes it easier to secure our goals. Unionists who did sell it sold it on the basis that actually secures the union, peace, cooperation, devolution, stops the violence and so on. It was called constructive ambiguity, Stephen. It was done to try and make it easy to try and get people in round the table and then see what happened. In this case, Stephen, I genuinely do not know. Well, I mean, some DUP sources are telling me that they were aware that there was something. Other DUP sources said, no, there was never an exact document. Even the language being used, accommodation, a draft deal, a partial agreement.
Gregory Campbell has said there was not even a draft deal.
That's what
there was not a draft agreement.
Well, let's put it this way, Stephen. If it's true, and I'm not going to take sides in this one, I'm simply going to say, if Mary Lou MacDonald is right, and that there was a draft agreement or an accommodation, and that there's an Irish Language Act on the table, and she believed, Sinn Féin believed, that the DUP were prepared or thinking about selling such a deal, then I'm pretty sure the DUP would have softened the language. They would have nuanced the language. They didn't. Right the way through to the very end, Stephen, they kept saying, there's not going to be a standalone Irish Act. There's not going to be an Irish Act. They didn't backtrack at all. But whatever happened, we got this big story. I spoke to you about it Monday morning. You asked me, was I surprised about a deal in the offing? I've been sceptical all the way through. I said, yes, I am surprised, Stephen, because I've still seen no evidence of what this deal might be. But clearly, over that weekend, a lot of people in the DUP and across unionism, not just the DUP, got spooked, so worried that the DUP had to make a collective leadership decision, which was they were stopping the talks. I don't know whether they're lying to each other, whether they're lying to themselves, whether they misunderstood each other, whether they got excited.
Well, we have no evidence that they're lying at all.
That's what I'm saying.
We have no evidence of anything, Stephen.
That's what, but somewhere along the line, there are two completely contradictory positions. One side saying, we had a deal, we had an accommodation, we had an agreement, and the other side saying, no, we didn't. One of them is accurate, one of them is not, Stephen. I don't know which.
Alison, this is too important. The public need to know what the actual truthful version is here.
And what Mary Lee McDonald says ties in completely with what we had heard on Sunday evening when details of what this deal possibly might be started leaking out. And we also know that elements within the DUP were briefing some sections of the media that a deal was very close. We know that as well. And we also know that when the Prime Minister and the Taoiseach arrived, they obviously arrived on the apprehension that a deal was very, very close. So what Gregory Campbell says doesn't tie in with the chain of events that happened. But this thing could be very easily settled, couldn't it? All we have to do is see this draft agreement. Let's get it out there. The talks have finished. They've collapsed. They're not going anywhere. So what is the problem with let's get it all out in the open? Let's be honest about this. And put the draft agreement out there.
Well, Mary Lou McDonald from Sinn Féin addressed that yesterday, didn't she? I remember her saying that they are not releasing the full detail because there may be more talks.
Well, I think that the reason why probably they're not releasing the full detail is we know what they're saying was there for the Irish Language Act. What we don't know was what was agreed on legacy, what was agreed in relation to military covenant, what might have been agreed in relation to other controversial issues that Sinn Féin may not be happy with their base knowing about. I think at this point in time, the DUP, there's lots of conflicting messages coming out of the DUP, but let's look at the chain of events. Let's look at what happened on Sunday. We had heard that there was a three-strand language act. There was an Irish Language Act, an Ulster Scots Act, and some sort of cultural or respect act. And then we had the two leaders arriving in Northern Ireland. And then we had sections of the media, which we would know would be quite close to the DUP thinking, saying that there was a deal imminent, that it was very close. And then it all fell apart. And all that doesn't tie in with what Gregory Campbell's now saying.
Alex Kane, journalists, and I don't know, and commentators, and I don't know if you are one of them or not, but other journalists have said that they were speaking to people from within the DUP who were talking about some type of draft agreement, okay? What I can say is that I was also hearing from within the DUP that, and I don't want to go too far here, but I was hearing from within the DUP at the weekend, Sunday night, that they were looking at the text of something that was not finalised, but that was a draft. That was said to me personally.
Well, all I can say is that confirms that was my... You and I spoke about this on Monday morning. That was my understanding. They believed there was some... No one said to me, no one from the DUP at any stage said to me that this is a final draft or this is a set-in-stone draft or this is going to be considered by the party so that Ireland will make a decision sometime today to tell the two prime ministers we have a deal. I was never told that. But what I was told, Stephen, was that by people who actually phoned me and found where to contact me, that they were concerned. They weren't sure what was going on. Were the media reports correct? That was one of their problems because I'd heard over the weekend this deal was coming. As Alison said, some people are saying, no, this deal is definitely coming. Some of the UP people weren't aware of that. They hadn't seen anything. They hadn't been told anything. They hadn't had a party meeting at that stage. And that's why I'm saying somewhere in between all of that, Alison's right, the Sinn Féin chronology seems to, from their perspective, to stand up. The UP a little bit confused in places as well. That's a problem, Stephen. We don't know. And again,
why won't they release it? Are the public not entitled to now see this? Is it not more important than ever that we see it? Because, one, we will know what detail was or was not in it. And two, we will know what form it was. Was it a draft? Was it a wish list? Was it an agreement? What was it?
I'll tell you, here's what happens in cases like this, Stephen. The two parties talk and they sort of say, look, we can't, at this point, there's still two or three problems that seem at this stage insurmountable. What do you then do? Normally, you tell your own bases, and you can tell the media, and you can tell the two governments, look, here's what we have agreed. This is where we have agreed. We've still problems in these two or three issues. We need to work through. It might take us another month, but look at what we have done. Look how much we've achieved. And that everyone go, oh, that's good, that's fine. And if we got that on Monday, Stephen, if that's all they said on Monday, look, we've agreed this. But let's say it's worth bearing in mind as well, Stephen. Same-sex marriage, which was a big issue, no agreement on. Petition of concern, no agreement on. Sustainability of executive and assembly, no agreement on. So it isn't just an Irish language act. You say, well, that's brought that, then we can deal with that later. Nothing was agreed on. And I think that's the problem. I think both parties here, I think there's weaknesses on both sides. And while Mary Lou says she will give the document to the two governments and the DUP, you heard Gregory Campbell last night saying, well, she can give what she wants because, you know, there's no draft from us. And so on. And that's what this is for people like us, Stephen, for the trade we are in. And you will be asked, Alison will be asked, Albert, just ordinary people saying, what is going on? It's very difficult to say, actually, I don't, on this occasion, I don't just genuinely know. The saddest thing in all of this, Stephen, is that after 13 months of talking, the very day the stuff breaks, they don't even seem to agree on what they had agreed. That's astonishing.
Just a development on the first story that we brought to you this morning about Jimmy Bryson appearing at the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee. He's been invited to share some of his ideas on devolution to that committee. After Jimmy Bryson appeared on the Nolan Show this morning, the Alliance Party have announced that they are pulling out of the inquiry. They have said that Mr. Bryson's appearance undermines the credibility of the inquiry and the dignity of parliamentary proceedings. And they say Alliance sees no purpose in participating and have written to the committee to withdraw from giving evidence. So the Alliance Party out of that Northern Ireland Affairs Committee. Let's come back to this story. The agreement that wasn't an agreement, the draft that we don't know whether it was a draft, the wish list that might have been a wish list or might have been an agreement, and it would all hint at being funny, except there's nothing funny about it because it's affecting your life, your children's lives, the public services that we have, the future prosperity for Northern Ireland, and that's how important all of this is. John in Belfast, 0303 80 55 55. Morning, John.
Good morning, Stephen. Dean, I was just thinking, if you look at all the past deeds and the way it all happened, like if we look at the Good Friday Agreement, the Lambeth Agreement, the Hillsborough Agreement, and this present agreement, the press were always the first to find out. They then waited, the Prime Minister and the Taoiseach would have come up, then the politicians would come out and confirm there was a deal done. What is so different this time? I believe Mary Lou McDonald, every second of what she said last night on the news. And they do not.
Well, why doesn't she release the document then and we can all see it?
Well, that's a question I can't answer for you. I would like to see the documents, but we're not going to. But we'll say that Sinn Féin's next starting point, if they ever do get back together for talks, Sinn Féin will start from where it left off this time.
Okay.
I doubt very much if they're going to budge on it.
John, thank you. Padraig. Morning, Padraig.
Hello, Mudge and Mike, Stephen.
Good morning.
Just a wee couple of points out this morning. I think everybody understands that the agreement fail because of an Irish Language Act. And just over the week, I'm off this week, so I've been listening to a lot of the callers coming in, and I think it's been actually shameful, especially from the likes of Gregory Campbell and others, the kind of diatribe that they're talking. But, I mean, if we look at the one of the main reasons why they're going against an Irish Language Act is because of this notion of politicising the language. So if any historian looks at the Irish language, they'll understand there's a plethora of methods that the British government has used to stop the Irish language coming to the fore. You know, if we look at the formation of the state, there's been a continuationist policy. So for me, I find it mesmerising that some unionist politicians would argue that the language is being politicised today by people trying to get their rights.
We don't have time for the second thing, because I have to ask Alison a very quick question this morning.
Okay.
Alison Marsh, you're still with us, right?
Yep.
What we also learnt yesterday is Mary Lou McDonald, her own words, that they weren't insisting on their red line before going back into government on same-sex marriage. Wasn't it Sinn Féin who promised no return to the status quo? And
it's interesting that a lot of those red lines fell by the wayside, didn't it, as those 13 months went on, because we know the first demand or stipulation by Sinn Féin was that Arlene Foster steps aside until the RHI inquiry was over. We have accepted that was no longer on the table and that was no longer being negotiated. I do know that some people from the LGBTQ community yesterday were saying that they were very concerned that they were told that there would be no return without an agreement on same-sex marriage. It's my understanding that there was some sort of nod and a wink that the DUP wouldn't use the petition of concern, but I don't think that was strong enough to go back into an executive with at that stage.
Alison, thank you very much indeed. Alex Kane, thank you.